And welcome to episode 3. We fucking did it. Holy shit.
We made it.
We made it. We made it. And have we got a goddamn excellent show for you guys today? All four of you guys, I guess.
You did say last week it would be rad, and it's going to be quite the humdinger.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We do have a special guest in the quote-unquote studio for today. Why don't
we introduce ourselves first?
No, we're
after all, the hosts of this podcast. So, well, I guess...
No, we'll go dessert first, and then meat and potatoes at the end. Let's do that.
Okay, so with us... we've got Danny, unknown to the rest of you as Amigo the Devil.
Hi.
And for those of us that don't savvy Espinols, what is Amigo the Devil?
What the fuck?
It's just the only name I could think of at the time that I needed to come up with a name for the project.
There we go.
So, and what kind of project is it again for people that aren't listening?
Banjo-driven songs about... serial killers and true crime and horrible things and all that.
So you fit right into the crowd. Well, so we're gonna go right into it as usual. I'm Jorge, keeping it on the rails, Gonzalez.
I'm Matt, Porkchop Express. Express.
Oh, Express. You flubbed it.
Flubbed it.
You flubbed
I'm
it.
I'm Matt, Porkchop Express Smith, and we've also got my lovely wife, Alia. And Danny's wife, Haley.
Oh my god.
Doing the face. We clean that up in post.
Yeah, we can totally clean that up.
Fuck post. We got Humdinger in there too.
Humdinger. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You need Humdinger. Mm-hmm. Oh, so you, music about serial killers. Why serial killers?
They're just, I mean, on a really basic level, they're really interesting because of how far they're willing to go to realize an idea that most people won't ever even, you know, dream of touching. It's like, we all have these fucked up ideas, but these people do it. Like, they actually get it done, and that's a completely different extreme of thought that people don't think about in terms of that context.
You're a fan of people who believe and achieve, then.
There you go.
If you can see it,
like,
you can achieve it.
People.
So, if you had to pick a favorite serial killer, and why? Why?
It changes. It's
this is
like,
FBI profiling, by the way.
There you go. Yeah, it's
NSA is listening right up
right now.
Fuck them.
It changes, just like, you know, your favorite band changes every once in a while, depending on what mood you're in, all that. Right now, Carl Panzram is one of the coolest guys out there to read about and all that. They actually have his autobiography that he wrote in San Diego in the library.
Is there a place to get that?
I don't know.
Well,
if
how
we
do
got
you spell
well.
That anyways? Like, can we get it?
Yeah, it's Carl, like Carl. And then Panzram's Panzram.
Wrong.
Oh, Carl Panzram in general. He's just one of the really, really mean ones. Just literally hurt, killed, and raped people just to shame them, not for any other reason. He just hated humanity. So,
but did they make a movie about him?
They've made shitty ones.
Yeah. Isn't that usually how it goes, though? Like, all the serial killer movies are fucking awful.
Yeah, it was a horrible
movie.
You're
not a good
Lord.
Serial killer until Hollywood's got its claws in you.
Yeah.
Okay. What was that?
Disturbing for people to watch, I think, a real, like,
just
a
true account.
What he was thinking, you know?
He used to just rape dudes, just fuck them in the ass, just to shame them.
Nice.
That just took it to the next
hey,
level.
Well, you know.
Well, he would.
What was that documentary that came out recently? Was it Cropsey?
Cropsey.
The guys in Philadelphia, I think it was.
Yeah,
Pennsylvania. Yeah. That was pretty interesting. Did you see this at all?
I didn't.
So it was he.
It's in our Netflix here.
I think Danny probably knows a little bit more about it than I do, but he basically, he was in a mental institution.
Yeah, the legend goes that he was in a mental institution and that he, God damn it. Well, he would take kids, basically. That's what I remember.
We'll research it, I guess.
Trying to remember. I just saw it on, they have it on Netflix now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, these guys made the documentary about, you know, is he real? Was he real?
Right. Thing. Yeah, it was, it felt half fucking like, trying to scare the shit out of us and half like the real documentary, but yeah, you know, what are you gonna do?
Make a documentary
about
it. So what's your plans next? Are you doing a new record? I know you're going.
Well, he's moving.
Moving back
first,
to Florida.
First, he's moving.
So apparently, there's gonna be some shows in Florida.
Doing the fake moving, kind of more than settling down. We're just dropping our stuff off in Florida and touring full time.
Oh, right.
So
nice.
Realistically, we're gonna live in the van for a while, which is, you know, technically
living the
nice van. By the way, it's a fucking nice van.
And you're one step closer to being a serial killer.
There you go.
Living out of the van.
Small town America.
Living the dream, I guess.
In a second.
So, dude, I got to ask you, why do you have the Bat Boy tattoo?
When I was a kid, I used to love looking at all the Weekly Worlds, all the bullshit mags in the grocery store. I wanted to get a little alligator kid, too. But
alligator kid. Yeah.
Bat Boy was the one I always remember because he was always getting into some kind of shenanigans.
Yeah, Bat Boy.
Bat Boy escapes.
Bat Boy, that motherfucker, he did rounds.
I wouldn't be surprised if it said Bat Boy found at Burger King.
It was National Enquirer, right? That was like
Weekly World News.
Weekly World News? Holy
they were,
shit.
They were the black and white one.
Yep, that was the big one.
That was the big one. Yeah, I remember in Santee, like the big the grocery store had, it was all National Enquirer, all that shit.
You know, and to be fair, almost every election, the aliens picked the president. Yes. Almost every time.
Always Bill Clinton meeting an alien.
Yeah, Bill Clinton's always shaking an alien's hand. And
close enough.
Okay. Bat Boy definitely changed.
I'm gonna segue like a brick through a window, but
real smooth.
So World War Z, holy fuck, dude, has made.
I'm assuming you saw it.
No. I refuse. It has made what I consider an obscene amount of money for what it is. I think it's a little ridiculous. I mean. Who here has read the book? Have you read the book?
I read half of the book, and it was so god-awful I had to stop.
Get the fuck out.
Dude, there was no characters to relate to. Every single part of that book, and I almost said movie because I was thinking about VHS 2 last week.
Every single part of that book was interchangeable,
and it wouldn't change the story at all. I found it really hard to read the book because there was no characters that continued for more than a chapter. You couldn't relate to anyone. You didn't give a shit what happened to anyone.
So you're definitely in the minority here of people who did not like the book.
If that's the minority,
I think so.
Yes.
Because
is there an odd number of people who read the book? Yes.
Well, I definitely read it.
Did you read it?
I would be in the minority.
I thought it was kind of a drone of a book. Like
Okay.
I read it and I enjoyed reading it. But I wouldn't ever tell anyone to read it again.
Oh, right. Fuck. Okay.
And at least with the movie, they had the common sense to make it during...
A summer blockbuster, but during
the war. Not all these random accounts from all over the globe after the fact.
Okay, so I must be just a total fucking nerd. Because I would love to have watched Brad Pitt just going around with a fucking pad of paper and with a camera, just like taking pictures.
That sounds
and
like a... fucking snooze fest.
Fuck, dude.
$200 million.
That sounds like fucking heaven, dude. Like, god damn.
That's just because Brad Pitt's in it for you.
No, it's not even Brad Pitt.
This ain't Thelma and Louise.
I'm willing to admit man crush, and it's definitely not man crush. Please. It's. I think
coming next week, a movie with Brad Pitt's dick in it.
Really?
Is there one?
I'm sure there is.
Why did you you were satisfied?
So did Danny, dude.
Okay.
So did Danny. We're both.
I was the only one here that
we
wasn't.
We are both in Brad Pitt dick desire. I'm just saying.
I do have to be honest, though. I refuse to watch World War Z as
I'm not going
to
watch
so
it.
I
guarantee I'm not going to watch it. No. It looks like a shit fest.
The only reason I'm not going to watch it is because of that horde of zombies in the trailer.
CG.
Yeah.
You mean the zombies that act like fucking water and like splash up against the wall and like toss zombies? Yeah. Up, fuck that, dude.
They take people's big fears, typhoons and fucking zombies.
Zombies? Like, what? Is that a realistic fear?
Jesus Christ. Next, those zombies are going to be like invading Japan and tearing down their nuclear reactor.
Jesus.
Ride the barrel and get pitted, dude.
Get pitted, so pitted. And that's internet.
Oh my god.
So I think here would be an appropriate place to take a break, Matt Smith, and listen to a little music. How about now? Can we do that?
I think we can.
Is that cool?
We should probably
check with Alia. Yeah. Alia, do you think it's a good time to take a break? Okay, cool.
It's an appropriate time.
Yeah, why not?
We're going to take a quick hot couple minutes. And Danny, a.k.a.
Amigo the Devil,
is going to play a song for us, and we're going to fucking love it, and so are you.
Body in the crowd. I poured her a drink to calm her nerves. But this earth had broken her spirits down. I said, hang around, let down your hair. Then talked about the others that were burning there. We danced and took a moonlight stroll. But that's when I wanted to be alone. So I took off the coat.
And we're back. So, wow, that was The Recluse.
And
right?
We're back.
Yep. That's off the Diggers EP that we just put out that you can download for free.
Wait, should I do that again?
No, it was great. Totally cool.
Dinger. We might as well just do it again.
No, it's totally cool.
I like it.
Just go with it.
You have to edit that out.
Nope.
Oh.
Sorry, Danny. My buddy Matt here is a dick. You can continue.
Off the Diggers
EP we just put out. It's available for free on amigothedevil.com.
Well, and we'll definitely post all these links to the blog, the WordPress site, because we're fancy now.
Whogoestherepodcast.com.
Yeah, we'll post all of this shit. We'll post everything.
Yeah.
So
we should get to a movie.
We might want to.
Well, this movie was picked by Danny.
Yes.
And it's Inside. It's an American release of a French film It's a l'interieur. I'm not going to put a French accent on it because I'll sound fucking stupider than I already do. But it came out in 2007, 82 minutes, released on June 13th in France, October 17th in the US, with a DVD release date of April 15th, 2008. $3 million budget, filmed between October and December of 06, and written by Alexander Bustillo, and was the directorial debut for both Bustillo and Julian Mori.
Look at you, facts guy. I'm so impressed.
No relation to Mori Povich.
I can't really express it into words how impressed I am with the facts that you present to us.
Yes.
I think it was a little too much.
It was just enough.
You could save that for the end, by the way.
They were necessary, but they're
all right, so this film, at its basic plot points, is literally a woman. I'm going to go just a quick overall, and then we can kind of go from there.
Yeah.
A woman gets into a car accident. Pregnant woman, you see kind of a fetus level shot of the fetus hitting the car, or rather hitting the steering wheel, and a little bit of blood action. And from there, you kind of hit some hospital scenes, and baby's okay-ish, and we end up at this woman's house. Do we want to talk at all about the pre scenes as far as before hospital goes, or do you want to just go straight into the house? You think that's important?
There is just like one little thing. When you see the baby in the womb at the beginning, you hear the mother talking in the background, and it says, "My baby's finally inside me. No one can take him from me, and no one can hurt him now."
Right.
And it didn't make a lot of sense to me at the beginning. No one can hurt him now. Like, it just doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense. How could somebody hurt a baby before it's in you?
I think she was the baby safe inside of her because it's planted. She has a baby.
Hmm.
I would guess that she just means she's going to do everything she can to just keep that baby alive and safe, since it's already gone through some trauma.
But
there are a lot of things in the subtitling of this movie.
Yeah, I gotta say, whomever did the dubbing on this film, F minus.
It was,
F fucking minus.
I would love to watch it in French.
I would say French with subtitles would be perfect.
It was really kind of hard,
a dubbed version, and it was. Did you see the dubbed version?
No.
Okay, you saw a subtitle version. Yeah. Okay, so you probably had a better experience than we did, because
even the subtitles felt though, huh?
That's what I was gonna say.
The dubbed version, for me anyways, at least in the beginning, was so jarring. I was like, oh, dude, I am literally watching somebody on a soundstage talking into a mic, much like we are today. But once you kind of get past the first 5-10 minutes, it's okay, but holy fuck, it was pretty tough to get through.
The acting is good, so you can kind of enjoy the movie anyways, despite the dubs, which are so bad.
Yeah, the dubs were horrific. The first criticism of this film for me is the dubbing.
But it's so awesome, it doesn't fucking matter.
Oh, so you've already let the cat out of the bag on that one. All right, that's cool.
I'm just saying.
That's cool. Hey, no big deal.
This is personally one of my favorite movies from the whole French new wave of horror that's coming out. You know, Frontiers, Martyrs, Livid, all that crap.
Martyrs was badass.
Martyrs is amazing.
Have you ever seen Martyrs?
Yes.
Martyrs is just seriously
Martyrs is great.
Fucked
yeah.
up.
But all of them fall short with subtitling and dubbing. So it's kind of the type of thing where you have to assume certain, it's like the autocorrect on iPhones and all that crap.
Yeah, right.
You got a stupid message.
That it had a U.S. release because I couldn't believe that it was the dubbing was so bad and it had a U.S. release.
I would try
a little harder.
I do have to say this. I think that for me personally, I think that it was the type of film that felt was a little too clever for its own good. Like, hey, we've got this baby thing going on, and
you
then
know, the shots inside the womb were kind of weird. It did feel a little look who's talking.
Yeah,
it was
absolutely
kind of cartoony and really smooth and soft and animated almost.
And the thing is that at that point, homegirl's 9 months pregnant. That baby would have no room to swish around.
Wait, are you talking during the crash or?
No. After. Okay, I'm talking after, like in the in like the hospital scenes and subsequent to the crash.
Okay.
So that baby would have no room to move around, which was already kind of.
Which you only know because you're only wife is know. Like,
yeah, that's true.
Dynamic.
Yeah, it's true. I only know.
I was about to say that's just
that's too much knowledge. Yeah.
If I can go out and just say this. Danny writes songs about serial killers.
Okay.
Like, I'm a pretty fucked up individual myself. But sir.
Me?
You watched this movie with your pregnant wife last night.
So, you know, hey, look, I
gave you the disclaimer beforehand,
and
too.
I also gave that disclaimer to my wife, and I was like, hey, Matt Smith kind of like prefaced this movie with saying, like, there's some, you know, you may not want to watch it. She's like, dude. Come on, let's watch the fucking movie. And I was like, all right.
Which, by the way, congratulations on that.
Thank you, sir. Mm-hmm. And we watched it, and to be perfectly honest, the baby stuff to me was sort of a non-issue. I was just like, why is she pregnant? I don't understand why is she pregnant in the scheme of the movie. It makes no fucking sense.
Well, you find out.
Well, yeah, it's almost an afterthought, the fact that she's pregnant. Like, there's the
really?
Because
yes, dude.
Well, I mean,
because I've lived.
The fact that the opening shot was the "Look Who's Talking" view of the woman.
Okay.
Like,
okay.
But then it pans out.
She's gonna have a demon baby.
But I've also lived with a pregnant woman for 8 months, and her acting like a pregnant person took me so far out of that film that I was just like, okay, that is not a pregnant person.
Because
I know what a pregnant person acts like.
So you're playing me for this episode. You're being incredibly nitpicky and
really? Oh, okay.
Is it nitpicky? We're trying to prevent.
Is it nitpicky to want a pregnant woman to act like a pregnant woman? Really? No, it's not about bitchy.
Hey, not everybody has seen a pregnant woman.
No, it's not about bitchy. It's not about bitchy. It's just about how she acts as a pregnant woman. I mean, she survives. She survives a car crash.
Angry, yeah.
She survives a car crash and then acts totally flippant about her baby and about her pregnancy, which is to me complete. It completely takes me out of it.
Her husband died.
But it's mourning, yeah.
I was going to say, do you think it has anything to do with the fact maybe they're trying to portray her as like, oh, now I'm alone. I have to act.
I have to be the man.
Yeah, I have to basically be a lot more. Just self-efficient.
Yeah.
I suppose you guys are correct, but again, I feel like the movie was trying to be a little too cute with the pregnancy part of it. That's just me. But
so okay, we're getting sidetracked.
We are. We really are.
So they get in the car accident. 4 months later,
about this longer than the movie. It happened faster than the movie.
We've only been 20 minutes. Hey,
yeah. Well, that's everything
way
else.
Faster than the movie.
So
that's
okay.
With all the cuts and everything. Get out of here.
Christmas Eve, she's gonna be admitted at 7 in the morning, and then if nothing happens by night, they're gonna induce labor.
Right.
That's when she goes home. And she's basically just sitting at home. She's
Which is ridiculous, by the way, because no hospital would want to fucking have a pregnant woman in their hospital at.
It's
on Christmas Day, but whatever.
Anyways.
Whatever.
Irrelevant. So she's sitting at home and she's arguing with her mom on the phone because her mom wants to come over and she's like, I want to be alone. Just leave me the fuck alone. Like, I think she resents the baby. Like, I feel like she lost her husband and now this baby is a reminder. Mm. The baby lives. My
husband
died.
Yeah.
And it's just because of the way she seems really indifferent about the baby, at least at first. And she wants to be alone and on Christmas. And
yeah.
Her boss even says, I guarantee you won't want to be alone next Christmas.
Which, how creepy was that boss?
Huh.
On a scale of one to ten, he was creepy times five.
The mom was creepy. The mom basically asked if she fucked her boss and then said, I was really hoping to be introduced to him at some point. Really?
They're French. I agree with Danny. They're fucking French. What are you gonna do?
Smelling her hair or anything. He was just like, yeah, I'll give you a ride. To give
creepy,
birth
I feel
in the
like,
morning.
Maybe I guess. A little bit, but I think he was reasonable in sort of presenting that offer.
He's a reasonable creepy.
Like, hey.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Hey, man,
like a
like,
like like an okay creepy. We were okay
like,
with
I'm
like.
I'm not gonna freaking stalk you if you say no. If you're not down.
Jesus Christ.
So right, right away, right off the bat, we get a scene of just how fucking weird this movie is gonna be.
Okay.
First, she's staring at pictures of her and her dead husband on the wall, and then. It's like a scene out of Ghost where he comes up butt naked behind
yeah,
her and starts dry humping.
Okay, so that was one of the first things that like sort of like I was like, oh, what's
up?
Yeah, what's up? It's good. I like it. Okay.
But then she gets a little unnerved because she thinks of the accident. She goes and sits in a chair and falls asleep. And then she gets startled awake and she starts coughing and wheezing and hacking. And then she fucking falls to the ground and pukes
which
out
which is a great
milk.
Scene I fucking love this scene.
How do we have a second movie in a week with fucking milk in it?
What was the first one?
VHS 2. Oh,
that's right. Yeah, I still haven't seen VHS 2.
Dude. Listen to last week's episode.
You maybe want to watch it, maybe don't want to watch it. I don't know. How'd you feel about first one?
I liked it.
Okay, so you may like this one better. This guy, he goes, we were emailing back and forth with the guys from The Battery.
I had to.
And he like his literal email was like, and Jorge fucking loved VHS too. And I'm like, I didn't fucking love it. I loved parts
Your
of it.
Your wife told me to be prepared because you loved it.
Okay, all right.
Is it also shorts?
Yeah. It's the same bit. I would say check it out. It's better than the first one.
Cool.
You know, your mileage may vary.
Back to the movie we're actually reviewing.
I had to do it, sorry.
One of the things about these French new waves that are coming out, or whatever the hell you want to call that whole collective, like in High Tension, for example, there's so many things that they're doing just to try to throw you off that I feel like a lot of the little mishaps and confusions that might not be consistent is just, I mean, they're just things that they're like, well, how can we steer people away from...
I think you're exactly right, with especially with what Matt was talking about, this scene in particular where she starts coughing and she eventually has the baby out of her mouth.
Yeah, which was nuts.
Which was fucking crazy. And so from here on out, you're sort of expecting a supernatural, sort of like different kind of film where you end up at a completely different area. Which is, it was interesting.
Yeah. Baby birth mouth.
Milk.
Milk, baby birth mouth, and then startled awake.
And then shit gets crazy.
Yeah.
And the doorbell.
The doorbell. The fucking doorbell. Okay, so we hear a doorbell. She goes to the door, and it's a woman who I actually initially thought was the nurse from the beginning. So I was like, what the fuck is this nurse doing here? Like, why is she being a creeper on this patient? The lady rings the doorbell, and homegirl is just having nothing to do with it. Doesn't want her to be in the house at all.
She wants to use the phone.
She wants to use the phone, and I actually commend her for not allowing her in the house. I was like, fuck yeah, dude.
Was this 1955?
What?
Yeah, come on in.
Yeah.
Totally, yeah, please. Come on.
You want to touch the baby?
There's a pot roast in the oven.
Yeah.
Come on. So, yeah, she wants to use the phone, and the main woman, Sarah, says, no, my husband works and he's sleeping. And finally, she's like,
"And we all know because of we've seen the beginning of the movie that her husband's dead."
And she tells her, "Your husband's dead."
Yeah. And so she knows way too much about this lady. Way too much. Honestly.
Yeah, well,
exactly. And then she calls her by name, and the girl freaks out, says she's going to call the cops, and calls the cops. And then everything just kind of mellows out.
And somehow manages to fall asleep on the couch.
After you call the cops, you kind of,
I'm on high alert.
She does not fall asleep.
She doesn't fall asleep right away, no.
Doesn't
she nod out on the couch?
No,
she calls
the
mom,
police.
Doesn't she?
She may call her mom. She calls the police, then she looks around, and then they see the shadow at the glass door.
Right. With the cigarette.
Yeah.
The glass door scene. Fuck. That was incredible.
Yeah. Their whole video direction was really good.
I think I think the movie completely took a
twist here. Just
well, no, I don't even want to say twist. I just want to say for
sort
me
like
the quality of the movie seriously downgraded from.
Really?
Yes, because that scene was fucking incredible.
So you think just the rest of the movie didn't live up to that scene?
Yes.
And
that's what I mean.
At this point, there has been like zero blood. Zero.
No Gordle.
I feel like
that's part of what makes this movie really good is just at least the shock. I mean, the sheer terror of it all. I'll never be a pregnant woman, but I can imagine that experience is quite terrifying.
Yeah, you'll never be pregnant.
You might be a woman in the future, but you'll never be a pregnant woman.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
that's coming from my wife.
What I mean is this. I think that the amount of tension and the amount of suspense that we receive from that scene in particular never quite gets there again. It never quite gets it for myself.
Question. Was that right before she gets into the house?
Yes.
Basically the
that
old lady
was the single creepiest fucking moment.
Yeah.
That
yeah,
was
that's
like,
what
was like,
that's what I mean.
What old lady?
Well, I still think it's the nurse in my head at this point. That's where I'm at. I'm sorry.
So for me, I definitely get that, because that was genuine horror. That was like pure horror with no shock, no, and it was just genuine horror.
And when she punches the window or the door, that was fucking brilliant.
And the whole time, Sarah, the main character, is taking pictures.
Yeah.
We didn't mention, but she's a photographer. She's like a news journalist. She's photographizing. So she keeps using her flash to try and take pictures of this silhouette outside.
Photographing?
Photographizing.
Picturizing.
Yeah, picturizing.
Goddamn
Instagramming.
Picturizing.
Yeah, yeah.
She's totally Instagramming.
She's trying to like
Sutra.
Either illuminate. Bangkok
and slipping.
This shadow with her flash, or she's trying to take a picture to show the police, and then they punch the window, and then
which was pretty fucking nice,
crazy.
A woman just
punch a sliding glass door like that, and just to see it continuously spider webbing, just
The reason that I still think that the rest of the movie from that point has weight is because it kind of just shifts into a different type.
It's a different type of movie,
type of horror, and so you get that genuine, just classic, clean shock, and then after that, it's like, what the fuck?
Well, it shifts from
a
possibly supernatural horror movie into a straight up slasher film,
exactly.
which is a cool shift. You don't see that very much. You either see,
I felt like that's
like
a lot of what made the movie so. Good.
Like now you have a physical threat.
Yeah,
it goes from
Paranormal Activity to High Tension in a second, and that's what makes it really fucking cool.
It does also have moments later on of hold your fucking breath. Something's about to happen.
Okay, so we're gonna
tension.
We'll get to it eventually, but was there some weird supernatural shit?
And I'm gonna say no.
I personally don't think so.
Okay. We'll get to it.
And before we go any further, I feel like
the thing I think is that as the viewer, you can see sort of into the fetus sometimes. That's unnatural.
Right.
Before we go any further, I feel like we should at least mention that I'm sure all of us saw the unrated version, and if you happen to see the R version. It's a completely different movie. The scenes of extreme gore and violence that we're probably going to talk about aren't in that movie almost at all. They cut like 7 full minutes.
Really?
Dude, I have a print.
Well, yeah, he's got a...
Look at that. That's all the shit that's been cut from that movie. And the first one was a plot
Matt
point.
Alden and Note Smith has so many notes on this movie.
Maybe
Jesus
I should
Christ.
Be keeping it on the tracks.
Yeah, you might want to be. Yeah.
So, yeah, they cut 7 minutes out. So the shit we're going to talk about is probably not going to be in the R-rated version of
the movie. So, in other words, watch the unrated version.
Yeah. Don't go to Blockbuster.
Don't go to Blockbuster. Is there Blockbusters anywhere?
I mean, if you're 12
years old. That's a good pool. I like it. I like it.
So, after, you know, she takes the pictures and the woman punches the window. She goes and develops the pictures in her own dark room.
She has so much time. Right. She literally has hours to fucking go film. To go upstairs, fucking undo the camera, fucking wind the film,
and I have
go
to
her developing station, fucking cut out the prints. Okay, this is the one I want. Okay, this is the one I want. And now she develops them. Takes like 20 minutes to develop film because you don't see that shit.
And the woman's gone the whole time.
And she's gone. She's just like, she punches a wall, punches a window, and I'm like, hey, I'm out.
And the cops aren't there yet.
She's cops aren't to find there. Her way in the whole time. It's that's what I'm thinking.
Maybe.
Besides the window she just cracked?
Sliding glass door.
Yeah, sliding glass.
She doesn't want to make a whole shitload of noise.
Glass that she just cracked? I mean, it's the same shit.
Yeah,
I
will.
Oh, semantics. Now we're gonna argue semantics. Okay, all right. Okay.
Well, I feel glass like we're just getting very. Yeah, she punched glass.
She punched glass.
So, but then there's another doorbell, and this time it's the cops. And a cool thing I noticed.
Finally,
the house number is 666.
Really?
Is it?
I didn't notice that.
It's at the 24-minute mark. In case you want to barely see the woman. Like the silhouette of her, and I feel like that's a really good throwback to old classic horror. They don't have to beat you over the head with what's supposed to scare you. They give you the little glimpse and let your imagination do the rest.
Let's be honest though, her silhouette was creepy as fuck.
Her face was creepy
dress
as
she
fuck
was wearing,
too.
Her acting
the
was
way
incredible.
She had her hair.
And,
see, I wish we would have known that. I wish we would have.
Her voice in English.
You can tell her acting is good, even though the dubs are bad.
Her acting was good, but the voice in English was
you need to
so
hear
awful.
The voice in French because it's just.
Again, the dubbing is literally the worst part of this movie.
It's such a shame that they let that go by. Just
hopefully, someone will make another one.
Well, they're talking.
No,
about,
it's
they're talking about
no,
doing
no,
a remake
it's,
already.
It's not even about making a remake. It's just releasing the film with proper subtitles.
No,
I think that's just all.
That's
all there is to
do
it.
Do another sub, another dub, a whole another dub.
I don't think dubbing is the way to go. I think subtitles is the way to go. Because did you guys see Let the Right One In?
Yes.
Yeah.
Did
I
not
can't believe
no,
they
wait,
remade
wait.
That.
Did we see?
You mean into?
Let me.
Wait, we saw. Yeah,
oh, yeah
we saw. Let the Right One In. We
yeah,
saw the
Let the Right One In is okay.
I can't believe they remade that.
Yeah. It was ridiculous.
It looks
yeah,
stupid.
Yeah, yeah.
Within what time frame of it?
Like 9 months.
Exactly.
Yeah, no. It was
Let
stupid.
The Right One In is a flawless movie.
Yeah,
it's perfect
great.
Movie.
And I think that's a great example of dubbing versus subtitles. Subtitles were perfect in that movie.
To be
dude, I've had some good. Dubs. I've seen movies or cartoons with good dubs before.
Mm.
I'm just not a fan. I hate that.
So yeah, the woman sneaks back into the shadow and then she goes and she's looking around the house and she opens up baby clothes and sniffs
oh, like
them.
Gets like, all up in it, dude.
And I didn't realize it was baby clothes at first. I thought
yeah.
she was sniffing panties. And I was like, we have another movie with panty sniffing? Like,
well,
we definitely have themes in our films.
Milk and panties.
What was the first movie we saw panty sniffing in?
Awesome. We're not talking about that
we
movie
We can talk about it.
Around.
Talk about
that
it,
is
please.
Not a great
no.
theme. Milk
so,
and panties?
No. And what? Actually, all three movies have had people hiding in the bathroom.
That is literally my whole life right now. Milk and panties. So, you know.
You know, I
thank
can
you
really
very,
see that.
Thank you very much.
So, and then she goes into the bathroom and she gets rubbing alcohol, we can assume, and goes back into the bedroom.
Yeah.
Well, with the baby clothes, that's kind of the first glimpse that we actually see of her intention.
Right.
You kind of, you start getting an idea of what the fuck she's doing.
Yeah,
it's not
up to then, you're like, all right, you're creepy, but what's going on?
Yeah.
Like,
why
yeah.
are you just in
yeah,
this
yeah,
house?
Yeah.
And she goes to the bed where Sarah's sleeping, and she takes off the gloves she's been wearing the whole time, rubs Sarah's belly, and traces it with scissors up to the belly button, and then
plunges.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And as soon as she plunges, Sarah wakes up and she slashes Sarah's face, which is just this gnarly cut, like, across both of her lips.
A Tyrion Lannister slash, if you will.
Real quick, though.
Yeah.
Hey, that's the spoilers that people don't want to hear, man. We can spoil movies. You don't spoil Game of Thrones.
Right.
If you haven't seen it by now, you're fucked.
Oh, see, yeah, look what you did.
Look what I did.
It's okay, I already forgot.
To our guest, no less.
Cool.
So,
to our best friend.
Yeah, that's when shit hits the fan.
Yeah, right. it unravels from there
that's
on.
That's the on switch. Just
when she's awake and realizes they're in the fucking house together.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then everything just goes downhill from there. Sarah runs off into the bathroom.
Yeah, so from here on out, I don't think we necessarily need to go into, like, really fucked up gory details, because I think it's up to whomever is listening.
But really, yeah.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
What would you do? Absolutely run into the bathroom.
Small no. I'm not necessarily talking about, like, what would you do, but I think sparing us talking about it at length about, like, every single moment, I think is a little bit, is going to be a little ridiculous. From here on out, it gets balls out crazy.
There's some intense,
becomes a splatter film, essentially.
Intense violence.
Yeah, she basically, so Sarah basically holds up in a bathroom as long as she can, and there's just, it's literally blood spray paints the walls. There's blood from her belly button. There's blood from her face.
And the way they sprayed that blood was so great. There's a scene where blood is just spraying out of somebody's neck, and it's seriously just a super soaker lining the walls.
Yeah.
Falling down, walking down the stairs.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
That was so... Yeah. We were talking about VHS last week in the GoPro part where I really liked the blood that squirted
out from that guy's
neck.
Right out from his carotid.
I thought this blood was even better.
Nice.
It was a nonstop just stream just all along the wall. They walk down the stairs. It's all over the stairs. But this movie just becomes...
But you have to know that they do it creatively. They do it They have a great... whole sort of direction going where it's still like you feel like you it's hard to explain. I really can't say.
You got plenty of time. You've literally got gigs of memory that you can keep talking. Go ahead.
You feel like you might be safe and then it's not, but they do it a really good way where even though I've literally seen hundreds of horror movies, it's still like.
I can get behind that.
They definitely.
The only thing I absolutely hated after I got over the dub was the cop. Fuck that guy.
One cop.
The young cop. Fuck him.
Wait, you're talking about the one that stays in the car?
Yeah.
That cop was the most incompetent fucking dipshit cop I've ever seen.
Yeah.
No,
he
I thought
was
it was really funny, but
he was the worst.
He was so incompetent.
When I saw what he got coming to him, I was like, okay, fine, but fuck that guy.
And when we get to him eventually, that's where I get to the supernatural shit. But we'll get there in about 20 minutes, I guess.
So there's a 20. Well, that's a while.
I'm just saying,
especially because we're not talking about all these points. I was just gonna say some of the.
No, we can speed read through some of this shit because we don't necessarily have to tell everybody about everything.
No, I mean basically.
You still have the 10 minutes for each song.
It's all in the same house. That's why you can't really like talk about different points, you know. But like shit keeps happening. You think, oh, you know, how could she possibly have such a horrible time with just one person? Like,
and not only that, but I'm sitting here thinking, like, how much blood does this homegirl have in her body?
You know,
that's one of the things about
50% of blood amount when you're pregnant, you know.
Oh, dude,
oh, really?
Oh, really?
Yeah,
totally?
50%.
I did not know that.
Wow. Up to
50%.
My wife has not
your
told
blood,
me that
your blood
20
goes,
times in the last, like, 3 months.
Going back to Reservoir Dogs,
he's like, all right, whatever.
When Tim Roth was bleeding out,
that's normal. Good.
That looked like a lot of blood that Tim Roth was reading out, but Quentin Tarantino actually said he had a medic on site to basically consult to the amount of blood that could be humanly lost and you could still be alive.
That's so
and
cool.
Conscious.
So seeing all the blood that Tim Roth bled in Reservoir Dogs, I don't feel like this was as much blood, but there was blood.
It was pretty crazy. I mean,
one cop even at a point says it's a fucking war zone when he goes in and sees these bodies littering the house.
Literally the one smart cop in this
movie.
Whole fucking movie.
Well, they all wound up dead. So
there was the first cop when came back and he was like, hey, they said there was a pregnant woman in this house, and she's like, I'm not pregnant, blah, 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 blah. Like, that cop I was okay with. I'm like, oh, you're a fucking motherfucker. You know what's up.
And he goes upstairs.
And then he gets bopped, right?
And then he tells his partner to watch the killer, and he doesn't even have his gun drawn.
He doesn't fucking watch her.
He's just standing there giving her this creepy...
Who the fuck watches a fucking criminal like that? Like, I've got my gun.
Do you want crackers?
Yeah.
Do you want soda?
Dude, like, I don't know if it's French cops that are idiots or if it's this movie's cops that are idiots. I don't know. I don't know.
I was going to say, I think that was just the purpose of, a little more gore to add that extra...
More people to kill.
I can believe it, though. You know what? Because... People
really?
Are lazy at their jobs no matter what they fucking do. So I will believe that there's three cops that are just fucking super lazy.
And
about
why not
job.
Kill an extra cop in your movie?
Of course.
Right.
Yeah.
Add a couple dead cops.
Why not? Add to the body count.
You know what I thought
so
was
now
cool.
We've advocated killing children
exactly.
and cops.
Oh, it's kind of what you were saying before is like it gets to a point where it's kind of a standoff between, you know, the villain and this pregnant lady. But then there's so many times where they're just holding you hostage as a viewer, and then they have scissors, and they're like, all right, you can... No, can't go.
No.
All right, no, you
no,
can't go.
No, stand.
And it's just...
They give you that glimpse
so many,
of hope.
They're not even twists. They're just extras. It's like...
I find it to be realistic enough, though, you know? Because
yeah,
of that.
Absolutely.
And I think we can, as far as this review goes, I think we can skip over a lot of the...
The specific
sort of like torture porny aspects of this movie, which is not necessarily saying this is a torture porn.
It's fantastic.
That, I think that's I think that's saying too much, and I think that's like
if you enjoy just seeing somebody laid to waste, watch this because
true
the,
suffering.
Yeah. The way these people are killed.
It's cringy. It's definitely cringy.
Okay, I want to talk about my when I get to the end of this film, that the parts when I'm like, okay, is this a supernatural movie or not?
Okay,
we get to the third cop, who's already been
This is the complete dipshit cop.
He's an idiot.
He's
a total
in the car.
Idiot.
This is
the cop
that brings their criminal
their
into
their
we get to
the
we get to this
scene
part
with him.
And I feel like it turned into like a minute long zombie movie. Am I incorrect on the way I feel about this?
I did feel like that, and slightly before that there was a part where the killer was outside of the bathroom and she was sitting on the floor. It's the scene right before she killed the cat. Oops, she killed the cat. But if you notice she starts like twitching and there's a lot of static and the camera cuts and it's that weird you know, that stuff that usually happens in paranormal films. And that was, I was like, well, what the fuck is happening here? Is this just to show she's crazy?
Yes.
Or
yes.
Is there something a little more...
I personally think that was, just to show insanity in, you know, more visual form or auditory and all that.
Yeah.
But with the cop, I think it was just...
Shit,
I think it was kind of just to be a little more extreme. I don't think they meant it in...
Because in that scene, his eyes are gone. And I go, when
she
did she...
She stabbed his eyes.
But
when did she...
No, she did not. She didn't, because they were downstairs and they were fumbling with the fuse box because the lights went out. And there was two almost sounded like gunshots. And then you see the cop laying face down and the criminal that they had arrested being
so
like, dude,
shitty
where
cop
where
got scissors in his forehead. That was his death scene. And then next scene we see him with, he's fucking...
Wait, no, he didn't get scissors in his forehead. That was the guy that was downstairs with the perp.
Two came into the house.
So
the third one
and those
came
two
in.
The
dead.
Cop was the one, the zombie, okay, the
okay.
quote unquote zombie one
was
the
young
one
cop.
With... Yeah,
okay,
the,
okay, okay. So who... Okay, so she... What did she do to this zombie cop?
He attacked her.
He attacked her.
No. He means, what did the killer do to this cop to make his eyes go?
Yeah, where did his eyes go?
No, but there, you heard, right? There was like
two gunshots.
Are we thinking that she shot him twice in the eyes?
In my notes, there is two gunshots. There is specifically
when?
Two.
In that moment?
They're looking at the fuse box, and they start doing the flashlight, and they're looking around. And he's telling the criminal behind him, get back, because he's the one holding the flashlight.
Okay, yeah.
And then they show Sarah laying on the bed, covered in blood, because they make her wait upstairs.
Yeah.
And I don't understand which cop goes to his car for help and leaves this dying woman in the house where the killer could
and
still possibly
And not only that,
do.
But who the fuck doesn't call for backup?
He was going to go to his car to do that, but still, the cops are shit.
Yeah,
it shows Sarah laying on the bed, and there's two pop, pop. And then it shows the
that
cop...
That must have been her getting the gun from them. And
it shows the cop laying face down on the floor...
And she already killed a cop. She could have taken the gun from him.
So then are we supposing that he took two bullet wounds, one to each eye...
That's what I can't
And is
believe.
Still totally
yeah.
lucid enough
no,
to attack...
Not totally lucid.
Well, he was stabbing at, you know...
He can hear,
but he still
he
has the
hear,
back of his skull,
he can hear
too.
And he has motor skills.
Yeah, I just...
I
don't,
say,
I don't understand
kind of swinging,
it.
He was just swinging, was it?
Yeah.
He had the...
He just
he
stood there like
a
zombie.
Just,
goddamn clicker.
And she said... clickers... And she said, officer, officer, and he turned around, and he's got no eyes, he's bleeding from his mouth, and he screams at her.
Yeah, what
right.
the fuck?
And then he fucking takes a billy club to her
he
pregnant
thought he was gonna
stomach.
Kill her, though.
Multiple
you know?
Times, not just once.
Like three times, yeah.
But was he trying to kill the killer or the woman he was there to protect? Because
he
if he was
trying to
kill
the killer,
would he really hit her in the stomach?
But
that
I mean,
was,
no. The
I mean,
only
he
thing
was
about
also out of
the
it.
Stomach is the best place
could,
you can actually accurately.
It could have just been, you know, technically flawed, and
that's true.
Well, let's just kind of assume this guy gets back up and shock value, and then here you go, pa-pa.
So
I don't know. I mean, if I was gonna shoot somebody in my house, like if I was trying to shoot somebody in my house and I couldn't see them because it was dark or whatever, I would probably aim for what I thought was the stomach.
The biggest section.
Yeah, I guess you can't really duck.
To hit it. Yeah.
If you duck, your face
yeah.
goes down.
It's the easiest target, the biggest target.
So, at this point, when the officer is attacking the pregnant woman, the killer comes out and stabs him with a makeshift harpoon.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, this is when you see that it's really not all about killing Sarah, it's about taking Sarah's baby.
Yeah, about I want this baby.
And she says that in the bathroom at an earlier point. We skipped over that, but she does in fact say, or Sarah says, why me? And the killer says, I want one. And she says, what kind of man would fuck a maniac like you? And then she says, if you don't want that baby, I'll take good care of it. So you know she wants the baby.
Which also plays on what you were saying earlier about how you could tell after the accident she was kind of...
Indifferent,
and maybe, you know, this lady's like,
She picked
up
on it.
If you don't want
it, but
I will absolutely take it.
Right before the cop scene, and this is a really important thing that we somehow skipped over, you find out why this woman is doing this. She is in the closet, and at this point, we didn't tell you why, but she's defenseless, pretty much. And Sarah, the heroine, comes in to finish her off, and she tells Sarah, you can't kill me again, you've already done it once before. And Sarah's...
Dun, dun, dun.
This is where she makes the biggest mistake of her fucking life.
She says, I have no idea what you're talking about, and this is when she explains... I was pregnant in the crash as
in the
well.
Crash, yeah.
So both women were pregnant in the crash. And the baby that we see dying at the beginning was, in fact, the killer's baby.
Right.
So she came back to steal the baby of the woman who killed her baby.
Which is, like, the big reveal of the movie, I kind of felt like I saw that coming like 100 miles away.
I personally didn't really see it coming because I was really wrapped up in all of the little twists and turns and mm-hmm. the gore and whatnot. But I do think that it could have been a much more just significant point in the movie that they kind of just brushed over.
I get that. Just, you're saying it could have been brought to the focus more instead of just having it be that quick minute.
It was just
and a half.
Quick, and then if you pick up on it, you do. If not, you don't.
Yeah, it ended up being sort of like a aha, I gotcha. Yeah. And
they do kind of allude to it throughout the movie.
Yeah.
And especially when she says she wants her baby, you just don't always know that she was the woman involved in the other car.
In the accident.
So then, basically, the officer.
Yeah,
fucks
zombie.
Her up.
We can call him a zombie because
I was totally like, we have turned into a motherfucking zombie movie.
I'm sorry.
Well, I'm sorry. What's funny is that with all of the what we've been talking about you know, you have the classic horror, the clean shock, you have the gore, you have all this. Maybe they were just trying to throw in a few little, well, let's just add everything we can in. Doesn't necessarily mean that it has to be a zombie movie. Maybe they were just like, fuck it, let's put in the undead for a second.
Yeah. And I really wish they would have at least given a little bit of an indication as to how he lost his eyes.
That was a strange addition to this whole movie.
I agree with that.
It was a detail, though, because it's something you want to know. But it's not really necessary for the story.
I think it is necessary, though, for this film.
It's just kind of the jarring,
weird,
zany M. Night Shyamalan thing that gets put in that makes no sense, and it kind of just distracts from the movie as a whole. You're just like, is he supposed to be dead? Why are his eyes out? He was laying face down. Am I supposed to believe she ran up and just double-tapped him in the eyes with the scissors?
Yeah.
And then he was bleeding out of his mouth as well. To me, that was just the one thing I kind of got hung up on.
Yeah. Really? Yeah.
It definitely was something that I brushed off.
Yeah.
Just maybe because I wanted to. Maybe because...
Well, and I think...
It's something I wanted to brush off.
Yeah, I just wanted it to be like, whatever.
I think ultimately when you're watching...
She did that.
When you're watching horror movies, there is a gigantic portion of the viewing experience when you have to be like, it's a fucking horror movie. Like, what the fuck? Like, a guy got his eyes blasted out by shotgun blasts.
Oh,
but
that was so good.
It's totally cool. It's totally cool. Now he's a zombie, now he's eating babies. That's totally cool. Like, that's fine. I think that's part of it.
You know, we could probably do a whole episode, just the top 10 kills from Inside, and just list the 10 kills.
Was there 10?
There wasn't even 10 kills.
There were
10 potential kills.
Seven.
He goes
three,
top
four,
10.
Oh,
there
five.
Was only five.
There was six.
There was definitely more than five.
It was six.
However many. They were all fucking brilliant.
And now Danny with the fucking count, which is nice.
I don't even know what's in here. It might be like all head. Okay, FYI.
Well, you should pour it slower.
Danny's doing a count of all the kills.
Danny is in fact counting.
Danny's doing a count. That's
so
cool.
After the thing with the cop, she kills the cop, and then...
It was six?
She goes back up, and Sarah is laying on the stairs, bloody, and says, the baby's coming, the baby's coming. I think the baby's stuck. And this part, I was...
Yeah.
Ooh, fuck.
I was like, please no. Please don't do that.
And Danny, you have this big smile. I'm gonna let you explain what happens from here on out.
Go for it, because I'm just...
He's just too euphoric about the whole thing. she takes the scissors that she's basically wielded as a weapon through the entire movie, and she puts them back into the hole in the belly button that she's already created and cuts, like, 6 to 8 inches up. Just... Oh, like,
bad.
Yeah. Ooh,
yeah.
Like latex, just fucking cuts it right up.
Yeah.
And then
digs
her hands right in, and they don't really show her pulling out the baby, but
they don't need
she
to.
Does in fact pull out the baby, and she does it in a way that Sarah is just laying on the stairs, decimated, guts fucking intestines pulled down to her feet.
And which is actually from the credits, if you remember.
Is that what that is? Because there was some really creepy fucked up
shit. Yeah, that's all of her entrails just sort of split out.
Is that what that's... Because I saw the baby's hand and the adult hand in the credits and...
Yep, that's from the credits.
Oh, okay. I had that in my notes because I didn't know what that was, and that shit was just really intense. It was really graphic just from the beginning.
I don't know if they changed any of the audio from the actual sound effects and the dubbing, but while she's cutting, they have that cardboard sound.
Oh, I don't think they had that.
So good.
So then the jilted mother gets her baby, and Sarah's dead, and everybody Sarah ever knew or loved or even met is dead.
Seven, not six.
Seven.
I'm going to freak you guys out a little bit, but...
He didn't actually watch Inside.
Oh, no, I didn't. He didn't see the whole movie. We've been watching, because of my wife's pregnancy, we've been watching a lot of, like, pregnancy and birth videos and cesarean videos. And I was, like, the whole time that
so
scene...
you're gonna be there.
That whole time that scene was being, like, unlaid, I was like, oh, that's very interesting. Oh, okay, why? I was very clinical about it. I'm like, is this supposed to be gross? Because I've seen some shit.
I personally really, really like when someone struggles the whole movie and just loses.
Yes.
Just doesn't.
That's a good point.
On occasion, I like to see the bad guy, I like to see the bad guy win.
Absolutely.
I don't always want the hero to win. Mm.
From the beginning.
I didn't want this bad guy to win, though, because fuck that bitch. I like to see her suffer. She's mean.
I like that Alia says, fuck that bitch in one word. Fuck that bitch.
Yeah.
That's the best thing in the world.
It is one word.
But she was scorned. She was a woman whose baby had been taken from her. And just from the line at the first spoken words of the movie, you understand how much this baby means to her.
But did we actually find out whose fault that accident was?
No, and you know, the funny thing is, I'm no auto insurance adjuster, but when you look at the way they had hit each other.
Aren't you, though?
It almost looked like they were on, like, a two-lane freeway, and one of them was driving the opposite, like fucking perpendicular to each other.
That happened, probably.
Like, she somehow drove across
the
field and hopped the fucking embankment.
We have literally seen that happen right in front of us.
We have.
And we have literally said literally about 1,000 times this podcast.
No more than 10.
No more than, okay.
That's because everything we say is literal, damn it.
Everything.
We mean every word of it.
Humdinger.
Humdinger.
Humdinger. Cheers.
We drink to the humdinger. So there we
go. I loved... One of the things that I loved that we didn't talk about at all was, maybe it was just the state of mind that I was in, because I was just really just, the first time I saw it, I was just wrapped up in this movie. I forgot about the mom. I forgot she called the mom.
Oh, she totally killed her mom.
I forgot she called the mom.
Wanted to breeze over
she just brought it back. I mean, they just brought the mom in, like, just dropped it
to
in.
To be fair, she called her mom by her first name a lot. Her mom's name was Louise, and when she's on the phone, she's like, no, Louise, like, don't come by. I want to be by myself.
Some people
damn
do
it,
that,
Louise.
Though. No, some people do that. Maybe it's
but
just
then
mommy.
Later in the movie, when she's bleeding like
mommy.
Tim Roth, she's like, mommy!
Because that's the baby
people
thing.
Who
that's
don't
what you
want
say
their mother to
baby.
Come over after they've been in a traumatic accident or possibly losing their baby don't want to call their mom.
Yeah.
Maybe.
No, yeah, it's definitely, I think, like, a going back to childhood. Like, I'm so scared. I've never been this scared in
I'm
my
dying.
Life.
I'm dying.
I
didn't know what this
mommy,
was going to feel like.
This is
I'm
the
scared.
Only the first scary moment I remember in my life. I called for my mommy, and she made it better. Mommy.
Which, by the way, this pregnant woman has lost literally.
Everything.
Liters.
1,001.
Liters of fucking blood. And it's still totally cool.
Hey,
up until.
They patched her up halfway through.
Well, but that's one of the reasons I like the fact that she died at the end.
How many liters?
Is just because
so.
It became
so, though, because, like,
something
said, like,
to where I started
earlier.
Thinking, all right, if she survives, this is fantastical.
Yeah,
this is
just, okay. Yeah.
So she dies at the end, and I'm like, cool.
It's
cool.
Way too insurmountable of an odds to.
You feel like yeah,
like, honey, you're not gonna
died,
survive.
But I felt sad, dude. I was depressed. It's like gay.
Like, I get you're fighting for your baby, all this, but you're gonna die.
You're gonna die.
So 4 to 6 liters of blood for the average person.
comeonanswers.com.
So
pregnant woman so for is like
a gallon, a gallon to a gallon
nearly
and a half.
Double that late in pregnancy.
Mm.
So as many as 3 gallons of blood.
That's a lot of blood.
I thought it was only 50%.
So what you're saying is I could slash my wife's neck and like leak out
blood forever.
You know, I thought we were profiling
your wife
Danny,
or your baby would die. So
yeah.
You might have just incriminated yourself here, man.
Bloodletting's cool, but don't punch my baby.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah, they're like punch me in the gut, but not that much.
One thing I've noticed about this podcast is we want the worst to happen to everyone.
I think that's the
children.
Same. I think that's the same with every podcast.
Cops, children.
Yeah.
Kill them all.
Yeah. I think that's just how it is with horror movies. Like, I think everybody should die all the time.
Everybody.
Damn right.
Yeah. So, anyways, thank you to Danny and Alia and Haley, and Jorge worked his way through it.
Thanks for having me.
Really?
Yeah, so,
I like that I get he did okay.
Yeah.
He's like, you guys are rambling.
You're the one I'm
much.
Stuck with.
Oh,
way,
with the pregnancy.
This whole episode is rambling. I'm going to be amazed to see how this turns out.
Oh, no, not
you're
going to
have a nightmare of a time editing this
out of,
shit.
Post the notes and be like, this was the plan.
Out They're just going to scrap this
minutes,
whole thing.
It's going to be 17 minutes long.
I totally do.
Editing is going to be necessary in at least 3 points.
I got to get Alia out of the whole podcast. That's all there is to it.
Impossible. I'm just saying.
So are we about ready to
Inside was a great movie.
Inside was a fantastic
fucking
movie.
Watch it because
I really enjoyed it.
If you liked that and you haven't seen, just for anybody who hasn't seen the other ones, High Tension, Martyrs, Frontier, Livid. Livid is really, really good.
It's
French. Yeah, it's French.
I wasn't a huge fan of High Tension. I actually saw that in theaters when it came out.
Yeah, right, you weren't a huge fan of High Tension.
I like it.
I hated High Tension. I still don't like High Tension.
Really?
You should watch it.
I personally
this
really
is gonna get edited out.
Here's the thing, though. Did you see the unrated one?
Not actually on drugs.
I don't.
Because
know.
It's the same thing. That the difference between the unrated and the rated is insane.
I saw it in theater, so I'm guessing it's probably R-rated.
Yeah. Probably.
Was there a gratuitous amount of blood everywhere?
Not
and I mean
gratuitous.
like squirting for a minute straight.
I don't think so.
I wouldn't say gratuitous, no.
We'll sort of end this podcast
keep fucking listening. Keep listening to bullshit because we're not even talking to you.
Don't
anymore.
Listen to Alia. Alia knows nothing.
I know nothing.
You know nothing.
So
okay.
This is gonna be edited a lot.
There's
we got
a
But we had a lot of fun.
We had a great time. And we hope you enjoyed Danny / Amigo the Devil's music. We had a great time.
We have another song coming up as well.
Danny from AKA Amigo the Devil.
Oh, yeah.
Danny is Amigo the Devil.
Yeah, he is.
A friend of the devil for those who don't habla the Espanoles.
Now we're just
okay,
drunken idiots.
I love it.
So we are putting this episode together, and we are going to end this episode with another song from Danny, Amigo the Devil, and this song is called...
It's called Hell and You, and it's from the upcoming full length that we're going to be working on. Should be out, January, February, hopefully, so here goes.
And check out AmigoTheDevil.com and Amigo the Devil on Twitter and Facebook. And
yeah.
If you don't know how to find that, you probably don't know how to listen to a podcast.
And you're probably an idiot.
So once again, for Who Goes There podcast, episode 3, I'm Matt. I'm too drunk to think of a clever nickname, Smith.
And this is Jorge Gonzalez.
And fuck off.
Good night, everybody.
Here's Amigo the Devil.
I'd rot in hell with you.
If you just ask me to, I love the shitty things we do together. Live with me in this and forever, hell and you. I know you wanted to. I say you take the shot, see this chance, feel the fire, let me have this dance with you. We take things a little far, but you couldn't name a place I wouldn't go with you. A plane, a train, a car I'd run. If I was dead, I'd float, I'd crawl in bed with you. Even on someone else's blood, on top of someone else's love. In the worst motel we'd find, cause home is the last place that I'd stand to be with anyone but you. I'd rot in hell with you if you just asked me to. I love the shitty things we do together. Live with me in this sin forever, hell and you. I know you wanted to. I say you take the shot, see this chance, feel the fire, and let me have this dance with you.
That's a humdinger.
Holy fuck.